Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey everyone, it's Boomer and Geo, and if you're into New York sports or you want straight talk about what's really going on in the sports world, Boomer and Geo is your show.
We're covering it all. Yankees wins, Giants drama, national headlines, and whatever chaos the day brings on the field and off.
No filler, no filters, just real conversation, and believe me, plenty of laughs every weekday morning.
We don't hold back, and we don't waste your time. We get to what actually matters.
That's Boomer and Geo, and you can listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
It's KM to AM on WFAN.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM.
The Fan. Yeah.
Let's do it, man. Freshly after 11 o'clock. So that means I get a full 3 hours to rock. 877-337-6666. Yeah, I'm kidding. That used to be the number. Remember that? You don't need the number. Do I have to say the number? I think we're programmed to say the number. But the same people are going to call anyway. They either have the number saved or I think even in the app you can push call. So I don't have to say the number, man. You know what we're about to talk about. But I don't know if we should talk about the Mets or the Yankees first, right? Because usually I say to the victor go the spoils. I mean, they both won today. It's a good day when they both win. Obviously, the Mets won first hours ago. But as I just went live on WFAN YouTube, I realized, oh, damn, I got to go up against a Rico. Evan and Hoff doing a Rico right now. Nobody can compete with that. They do Taylor Swift numbers. You know what I'm saying? Nobody can compete with that. So I guess everybody's watching the new Rico Garcia pod. So we'll start Yankees. Let's go, Yankees. Let's start with, like, you know, the Yankees travel. That's not an excuse. The Yankees didn't need an excuse. And earlier this week, we were saying, you know, aren't they used to it by now? Like, shouldn't they have some type of, this was me saying it, shouldn't they have some type of, melatonin set up for these guys, sleep pods, special seats on the plane, some type of protocol to get them to these private airports and straight to the hotel. Maybe they got some type of bat cave entrance. I was just trying to get the Thursday night football game on the TV. Got it. Tua being Tua. I picked the Bills for my survivor pool this week. And you know, once you use them, you can't use them. And I'm just like, there's no way the Bills lose on a short week to the Dolphins. And we're going to get to plenty of football tonight, but back to the Yankees and their travel. So shout out to BK, Brendan Cuddy. He was getting some love. He was getting a nod with Dave and Susan on the broadcast. Because I guess he played a part in, telling them, hey, we should be flying into BWI. We should be flying into the Baltimore airport and not Dulles. And he wrote a little article. He said they had planned to fly into Dulles International Airport and drive 80 minutes to the team hotel in Baltimore. Dulles is in Virginia. I remember flying out of there when I played at JMU. When we had our own chartered team planes, they would come out of there. Avoiding the more convenient Baltimore-Washington International Airport, Major League Baseball cleared the Yankees to fly directly into Baltimore early Thursday, but Yankees players preferred to arrive in the city as soon as possible. Absurd was how one prominent member of the Yankees described the Twins' decision to schedule a night game Wednesday with the team needing to play in Baltimore the following night. The Yankees also didn't get into Minnesota until well past midnight Monday and then after Sunday night's loss to the Red Sox in Boston. So that's what I was saying. We were just coming off of Sunday night baseball going into Minnesota where, you know, they had the same score that they had tonight, but it was opposite. They got blanked 7-0 and we weren't ready to give them that excuse because that had happened against Toronto a couple weeks ago. That had happened against Boston last month. But hey, they're figuring some things out now. So shout out to Brendan Cuddy and the Yankees for maneuvering. I think it saved them at least an hour. An hour goes a long way sleep-wise. You ask me, if I can steal an hour nap in the day, I'm a different person by the time I get on at night. So, you know, we start there with the travel. Brian Hoke wrote that the Yankees got into Baltimore from Minneapolis around 3:30 a.m., according to Aaron Boone, who said, we did pretty good timing-wise. Late report, no on-field BP, though some infielders were taking grounders. Now, this is Yankee Stadium South down there. You guys have been to Camden Yards, right? Maybe some of you are down there now. Maybe some of you are driving back from there now. The place is full of Yankee fans. The place is full of Yankee fans from South Jersey, Delaware, PA, Maryland, you know, the surrounding areas. Even New Yorkers drive down there. It's not that bad of a drive. And it's cost effective. You can sit close. Nobody's in the upper decks. Nobody's in the 300 level. And, you know, this late in the season, I just was watching, you know, Oriole Park at Camden Yards, where I remember talking about how they did this whole build a ballpark and they changed the dimensions and they add this like splash zone, Mr. Splash. And, you know, they really thought they had it going on, man. In the last couple years with them winning 101 games and making it to the postseason, they really thought that they arrived. Now look at them. Bums. Now look at them. Eliminated. Now look at them. When the Yankees go in there and dominate them with all Yankee fans in attendance, the game ends with, let's go Yankees, and there's nothing they could do about it. Nobody's spraying any water out there now. They don't have Adam Jones out there now. They don't have Frank the Tank out there now. Last night, I got a call from Steve Vaccaro. Steve Vaccaro is from the Chapters Network. I know you guys don't know him, but he's a friend of mine who called in. But he called in as Steve from Valley Stream, and he talked about how he's in Minnesota to see the Vikings. He's a Vikings fan, and he also saw the Yankee game. And he does a lot of charity work where I think he gave out tickets to, you know, this Yankees series. And what I'll say is the Yankees come to town, and they want night games because they want to make money off of the Yankees brand. That's how you can't tell me like nobody cares about the Yankees anymore. The Yankees aren't the same anymore. If you go to House of Highlights on YouTube, we did this one Red Sox fan versus 10 Yankee fans YouTube series. And one of the themes was like that the aura of the Yankees is gone. I'm like, it'll never be gone. The brand is permanently built. And people that don't know anything about baseball, they still think Derek Jeter's on the team. So I don't fault Minnesota for trying to get those late season three night games at their beautiful ballpark with the Yankees and not playing a day game. Nobody feels sorry for the Yankees. So they go from Minnesota, where they played well, and now they got a little bit of a win streak going. They win tonight. And last night, Steve called, and he gave us a little bit of a nugget, something that you get when you're at the ballpark and you're not watching on TV. He said, Keith, what's up with Ahmed Rosario? Why doesn't he play? He seems like he's upset. I was looking in the dugout. He was sitting away from guys on the team. Well, he's only been on the team for a month and a half. And what I said last night was, you know, he's Unk, right? He's Uncle Ahmed. He's got Unk vibes. But he's only 29 years old. His career is not over. He's a competitor. He wants to play. And with what he did on Sunday Night Baseball hitting that homer, he probably felt like he deserved some playing time. Also, he's watching Caballero damn near become the starting shortstop. And he's probably thinking to himself, why am I here? You traded for Ryan McMahon. He's third base every day. I'm not going to get any reps at shortstop. You got two shortstops there. Then you have four or five outfielders. Judge, Grisham, Belly, Stanton, Dominguez. Like I can understand the guy sitting there and being like, why did they trade for me? What is my purpose here? I'm not going to play? Like, this is another year of my career. Well, he goes back to Maryland, not as a National, but as a Yankee to face the Baltimore Orioles, and he cracks the game open for us tonight. You love to see it. Left-handed pitcher on the mound, Ahmed Rosario gets the opportunity to play, and he hits. I think I heard them say on the postgame, when he hits, he's hitting 400 for the Yankees. Not a bad problem to have. Not a bad problem to have. Good to see Ahmed Rosario early, swinging, ready to go. And, you know, the thing is, like, the Yankees now have, like, a deeper team and a deeper bench, even as you see Goldschmidt play tonight, all right? Because before Ahmed Rosario had the two-run double, Goldie Knox gets a hit. And I was talking about Goldschmidt. Like, Goldschmidt's got a .280 batting average. And I think when you look at what Goldschmidt has been for this team this year for $12 million, Oldie but Goldie, that's a good season for Paul Goldschmidt. I didn't know what to expect. And I did expect him to platoon. I didn't expect him to play 158 games. But yeah, when you're looking at this team now, they do have guys that can hit left-handed pitching. They do have guys that can pinch hit. They have a few guys. Like, they almost have too many guys to fit into the lineup. But these are good problems to have, like I'm saying. So as the game goes on, you know, let's talk about Max Fried. Max Fried is a guy that I said, if this is the version of Max Fried we're getting, pack it up. And I don't know when I said that, but it was a while ago because Max Fried has been good. Max Fried has been right. He got right. I want to say it had to be, it was hot. So it had to be like early August. Maybe it was the Astros series, but he got back into the lab. He fixed himself. The Yankees fixed him. I give credit to Matt Blake, Harkey, Boone, whoever. I don't know. Whoever, you know, their analytics guys or whatever they did to fix Max Fried is awesome, because when we were kind of, you know, looking at this team as what are they going to be with Devin Williams blowing games, with Volpe leading the league in errors, with Max Fried giving it up, it seemed kind of hopeless for the season. But it's a long season, man. Don't you love baseball? I love baseball because it is such a winding road. It is such an unwritten story. Day by day, game by game, series by series, week to week, and month to month. And here we are in this last month of the season, and Max Fried has regained his form. So much so he tied his career high in strikeouts tonight. And I don't care that it's the quadruple A Baltimore Orioles. They have all-stars over there. They have highly regarded players over there. I'm watching the game tonight, and I'm like, Jorge Mateo had a 30-homer season? I had no idea. Yankee fans remember him. Susan always, you know, refers to him as longtime Yankee farmhand. And I'm like, that had to be an error. Now I'm looking at it now, I'm like, that definitely was an error. Because I'm like, he's got one homer. But anyway, they have good hitters over there. Ryan Mountcastle, Gunnar Henderson, Westberg. So if you want to try and diminish what Max Fried did tonight, I think that's foolish. I think he's throwing the whole kitchen sink. He can strike guys out with multiple pitches. He's got multiple pitches to keep guys off balance. And I'm watching him pitch. And after he got into a little bit of trouble in the second inning, he wiggled out of that. And then he's just striking out the side, retiring guys in order, facing the minimum. And then we get to a point in the game with Volpe where I know you guys are down on Volpe. He's the whipping boy, but that's another good showing. That's another positive for cortisone tone, right? A hustle double where the slide gets him in there, avoiding the tag, swipes third base, and then Caballero gets on. And then, of course, his chicken parm partner, Austin Wells, drives him in. The Yankees go up 3-0, manufacturing runs without the home run. Yes, I'm talking to you, Buck Martinez, again. Ever since Buck Martinez called them out and said, if they don't score or if they don't hit home runs, they can't score. They have found a way to put the ball in play. They found ways to steal bases. They found ways to manufacture runs. They didn't hit one home run tonight. Fried responds with another 1-2-3 inning. You know, Jazz doubles after going down in the count and after fouling one off of his groin area. And Jazz is one swing away from a 30-30 season. You know, Fried just continues to mow him down. And this guy McDermott, when he comes into the game, you know he's cooked because he walks Caballero. And I'm looking at Caballero and I'm wondering, I'm like, where have I seen his accessories before? Because he wears those bright accessories. I'm like, oh, Caballero coming from Tampa, those bright colors that he wears, those were to match the Tampa Bay City Connect uniform. The purple, the lime green. It looks good with the Yankee uniform. They should let all the Yankees wear. Like, obviously, you got to wear the pinstripes and the road grays. But whatever other colors you want to wear, Jazz, Cabby, Judge, go for it. But yeah, anyway, after Buddy, walks Caballero, walks Wells, they have a mound visit. And this guy, Chase McDermott, Chase spelled C-H-A-Y-C-E, he gives the game away. Goldie gets his second hit of the night, drives in Caballero, it's 4-0. Judge, first pitch swinging. Sac fly makes it 5-0. Tough night for Judge, and we're going to talk about Judge tonight. Because it's funny. I get texts about conversations that go on WFAN, and I'm like, oh, I've been having that conversation. I've been calling for Yankee fans to use their voices, their platform, social media, podcasts, to kind of push down the narrative that Cal Raleigh is the MVP. We're going to get into that tonight. We're going to get into that tonight for sure. But yeah, Judge tonight with 2 strikeouts, not, you know, getting any hits, not raising his average. He had 2 walks. I need that average to stay up, Judgy. We need to hold off young Jacob Wilson so that you win the batting title. And that's just another reason why we're like, Judge is the MVP. I'm listening to Dave call the game, and Dave said he did some work. And Aaron Judge leads the American League in 19 statistical categories. How can you not give that guy the MVP? Another former MVP, Giancarlo Stanton, later lines a laser to left field. Makes it 7-0, and they take him right out, embrace the Martian, and we're rolling. We're good. Max Fried ties his career high, 13 Ks at 87 pitches. Paul Blackburn pulls up. He says, I'll have whatever he's having, and finishes the game. I think the Yankees end up getting 2 more strikeouts from him, and then that ties their season high for 15 strikeouts in a game. 27 outs, 15 of them being strikeouts. That's an easy night. A goose egg for the Baltimore Orioles. Impose your will. Leave no doubt. Baseball night in America with the world watching and Ken Rosenthal trying to lobby for the world to think that Kyle Raleigh should be the MVP over Judge. Like, nah, smack them in Yankee Stadium South. Give them nothing and go on to sweep. And I know some of you are going to call tonight and say, hey, Keith, we're not out of the division. I think Moose in Jamaica called last night and I kind of just knocked it down. I know. Mathematically, we are not out. Those young guys in Tampa today, they shut out the Toronto Blue Jays, but it's a getaway day. They beat them 4-0. I know we're not completely out of it, but when you really sit down with the math of what it's going to take here, it would take for the Toronto Blue Jays to lose more games than they win and for the Yankees to not lose more than a game with the tiebreaker. It's too late for all that. Don't have 2 6-game losing streaks. Don't have so many series that you lose. Don't have Devin Williams blow 9 games. Don't have Volpe out there leading the league in errors with a torn labrum. Don't play DJ LeMahieu at second base. He can't get to routine ground balls. Like those little things during the season add up. Where now you're trying to cram and there are fans. And I love you Yankee fans that are always optimistic. We need y'all that are always glass half full and hope week is always on, but I don't see it. So I'm not going to play that game of the Yankees getting a division. Sure, if they get it, I'll be pumped up and happy for that, whatever, and they get the bye. But I think it's pretty much a lock. We're going to be in the wild card. And when you see Max Fried pitch like he pitched today, when we are less than 2 weeks away from that wild card, you got to feel pretty good. I'm not back on the ride yet, but I'm getting in line. 888-808-1019. Keith McPherson on the Fan. We'll take a break here. And then we'll come back, we'll take the Yankee calls. And before I take Yankee calls, I'll say a little bit about the Mets as well, because we do already have some Mets calls. I'm sure there's Mets fans that have been waiting all day. If you didn't get on with Evan and Tiki or the Lugauer to talk about the Mets, we could do that as well. I got plenty of time tonight. Like, I'm on before 11:30, before 12. So we will talk all the baseball. We'll look around the league. Clayton Kershaw, Hunter Green, the Cleveland Guardians. And then we'll get to the football as the game just went final in Buffalo. The Buffalo Bills win again. They're undefeated. They were not about to lose in their building. Tua'd late. And they cover the spread, too. I think the spread was, it was more than a touchdown. And if they would have just left it there at 28-21, then I don't know if they would. I think the spread was more than a touchdown. I want to say the spread was something like they end up winning by 10. I'm not sure of the spread, but I remember looking at it. It was 12.5, so they didn't cover the spread, but they still beat them by 10, and not just a touchdown. So I don't know if you guys are gambling like that. I've chilled on the gambling. I'll explain why I've chilled on the gambling as well later. 888-808-1019. Streaming live on YouTube if you want to look at my Max Fried shirt. And streaming on the free Odyssey app, the TuneIn app, iHeartRadio app, something like that, 101.9 FM, 660 AM, and WFAN.com. Your nighttime host, Keith McPherson, here till 2 AM. KM to AM returns right after this. Let's rock, man. New York baseball talk, man. Keith McPherson on the Fan. You know, so earlier today, I was watching the Met game and listening to the Met game and keeping up with the box score and doing a bunch of little things. And I think last night I said I expected the Mets to win, but a lot would rest on what type of start you get from young Jonah Tong. Y'all can leave the Tongs at home. I don't think that helps. I think that's wild corny. Like bringing Tongs to the ballpark. I can't tell you Met fans what to do. You need something. You're always looking for something to latch on to. So I guess if you're bringing Tongs to the ballpark, it worked today. That's that young man's best start. That's that young man bouncing back, being a pro after weeping, after crying in the club, after feeling like he let the entire Mets nation down. Jonah Tong, good job. Now, something else I said. You know, the Mets will lose a night game and then a quick turnaround day game, they'll win. And I don't have any numbers on it, but I just felt like recently they did that. And so I went back and looked just last month. August, they lost to the Giants 4-3. They bounced back, quick turnaround the next day, day game, they won 12-6. August 15, they lost to the Mariners 11-9. The next day, here comes Nolan McClain's debut. They bounce back and win that game. So you knew that the Padres were going to put up a fight. You knew that the San Diego Padres, a postseason team, the team ahead of you in the wild card, a team that swept you last time you saw them, Mets fans, you knew that they weren't going to go quietly. But you also knew that the Mets, you know, were going to turn around and show up, and they did. You got Luis Torrens back, and I'm sure he helped Jonah Tong as well. And Jonah Tong was retiring guys with the fastball, throwing the fastball. He wasn't, really trying to, like, land the off-speed stuff as much from what I saw. And I felt like that was different than when he got rocked against the Phillies. I felt like they got in the lab with him. They worked on a little bit of a game plan with that young man. And when the game started off, I thought he was going to be in a little bit of trouble, right? Luis Arraez, who had the video the night before where he came and he knocked the bill of his hat and you see the kid smile at him. He gets a hit, and then Manny Machado laces one to left field but doesn't run out of the box and gets thrown out at second base. And then the kid strikes out Jackson Merrill. You're good. Now, a big thing that I want to talk about tonight, one of the main themes I wanted to talk about tonight, and I'm glad I have this time, is Paid Pete. I want you Met fans who said you didn't need Pete Alonso to remember this stretch. I want the Met fans that said, oh, we'll put Vientos at first base, or we'll go get Vladdy. We want Vladdy, to remember that Pete Alonso has turned it on in this little bit of a stretch here. After you lost 8 in a row, Pete Alonso has homered in 4 straight games. He's hit a homer for 4 straight days. Pete Alonso is the face of the franchise, even though a lot of you just loved the Soto signing and said, to hell with Pete, I'm getting a 22 jersey. Soto is here. Please remember that Paid Pete is the one that said, I'm about to go get 40. I'm going to go get 40 this week. What's he at, 37? Paid Pete is the one that put the team on his back to say, I got to hit. I got to shake out of this. I got to get it done. And Paid Pete is the one right now that you can thank for the right vibes, because he got it started today. 888-808-1019. Pete Alonso is putting together a nice year. And I remember talking about how last year was a prove-it year. He really waited to prove it into the postseason. And good for him that he got that opportunity. This year was like another prove-it year mulligan. He's going to have better numbers. He's going to have better numbers. And, as that game continues to go on, Juan Soto does drive in his 100th RBI. And you see former Yankee Randy Vasquez give it up. And then, of course, Wandy Vision. Former Yankee Wandy Peralta comes in, and the game gets blown open by Brandon Nimmo. Yup. Brandon Nimmo hits one out. You see Lindor is fired up. Lindor scores. Alonso scores. And in my notes, I write, the great Sweeney Murdy used to say, 3-run homers win ball games. And I think everybody could just exhale a sigh of relief, because at that point, you have a good lead. At that point, Jonah Tong, he gets through his day, goes through 5 with 4 hits, 1 unearned run, 8 Ks. like I said, throwing his fastball to get guys out. And that kid wants to be on this team in the postseason. That kid wants to be on the wild card roster. That kid wants to potentially get a shot. As we do see Kodai Senga working his way back, Triple A Syracuse. He went 3 2/3 innings pitched, 6 hits, 4 earned runs, 2 walks, 4 Ks. You might have to bring Piggy back with him and David Peterson, but you'll worry about that later. It was so vital for the Mets to win a damn series. It was so vital for this Mets team to win a series against a good postseason team like the Padres for belief. The fans are back in now. And you can't lose that series, lose 2 in a row, and then potentially drop this first game to Washington and then have another losing streak. You had to make this stretch winning 3 out of 4 feel real, and the Mets did that. So I just look at the standings, and I look at where they are, and I just don't think that they're going to drop out as long as they handle business. Now, sweep the Nationals. You owe them. Sweep the Nationals, and you're really in a good spot. You don't want to have to worry about going to the north side of Chicago on the road and then to Miami and need all of those games. You very well could lose both of those series to the Cubs and the Marlins. Your pitching is fickle. They have guys that can hit. Like, sweep the Nationals in your building with Sproat and McClain and Clayshawn coming up. It has to get done. It absolutely has to get done. The Mets are 2 games up over the Diamondbacks, who they don't own the tiebreaker on. They're 2 games up over the Cincinnati Reds, who they don't own the tiebreaker on. You cannot fall back into like that 1-game spot, because that's where it's gonna get scary for you next week in the last week of the season, and nobody wants to go through that. 888-808-1019. Now it's wide open for calls. Mets fans, Yankee fans, I'm going to go in order that you guys came up on the board. Vic is in Rockland, New York on the fan. What's up, Vic?
Thank you for taking my call, Keith, and I agree with your astute analysis on both the Yankees and the Mets, but I have a suggestion for the New York Mets.
Okay.
I really think they need a catcher who can handle the pitching staff, and I think the guy is a real Muto, whom my understanding is that his contract is up at the end of this year, and I assume he's going to be a free agent. My suggestion is that the Mets should go after him, maybe sign him to a 3-year contract. He's 34 years old, but he's got a history of working with pitching staff as far back as when he was in the minors. And I think he's not the type of guy who's going to have his pitcher throw the ball down the cock to the best hitter on the Padres with the bases loaded.
Mm-hmm.
I think he has a better head on his shoulders than anybody they've had so far, and I think he can work with the pitching staff, and I think that's what's really needed. Not different pitchers, but somebody who can work with the pitching staff, educate them, because that's what he's done in the past.
I like the thought. Thanks for the call, Vic. That guy is a Philadelphia Philly all the way, one of the leaders of that team. The Mets should have signed him back when they signed James McCann. They should have tried to get him then before he became really a part of the fabric of what they do down there in Citizens Bank Park. I don't think he wants to be a Met. The Phillies spend money too. I think the Phillies are going to find a way to bring him back, bring Kyle Schwarber back. I mean, it's World Series or bust for this Phillies team this year, because that looms large, right? That JT will be a free agent. Schwarber will be a free agent. Like, they got to win this year. That's why they went out and got Harrison Bader. They went out and got John Duran. They went out and got David Robertson. Like, they're going for it. But I do understand that the Mets catching situation with Francisco Alvarez, Luis Torrens, Hayden Sanger, like, it leaves you kind of wanting some more. Alvarez is just a crash test dummy. He's just he's hurt. He's just hit all the time. He gets hit by so many pitches. He doesn't know how to slide. I feel like he can be such a good player. Like, I like the guy. I've said he's my favorite Met when he's going good. I just like his swing. I like his moxie, his attitude. Torrens, I think Torrens is solid little, you know, defensive catcher. It all depends on if Stearns is, prioritizing that position and spending there, but I don't think that they're going to go after JT Realmuto. Santino is in Suffolk County on the Fan. What's up, Santino?
Hey, how you doing? I just wanted to talk about how, you know, people are basically deliberating as to whether the Yankees should prefer to play the Astros or the Red Sox. My thing is, as a lifelong Yankee fan, how could you not want to go and play the Red Sox in whatever round in the playoffs? Like, people are scared to play the Red Sox now?
I'm not.
You know, we haven't played great against them this year. But, like, come on. That's what you dream for, to knock the Red Sox off in the playoffs? It would be incredible.
Yeah, they might be young. They might be young. And like, because I don't know. I still hate the Red Sox. I would love to knock them off. I feel like we owe them some get back because they knocked us out in 2018, 2021. Like, it's our turn.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I would love that, especially if it's in our building. I'd love to knock them out in a 3-game wild card set, 2 games. But, you know, they just lost a series to the Oakland A's.
Exactly. Yeah, I think they split between the two series, the 2-3-game series they just had. They split. I mean, listen, they're a good young team. You know, they lost Roman Anthony, so, you know, that hurts. But at the same time, they really don't scare me. Cool, you got Garrett Crochet. Cora's a good manager. Check. But at the end of the day, as a Yankee fan, how could you not want to play the Boston Red Sox and knock them off, get them, send them packing to Costa Rica, you know?
Yeah, people are shook. Actually, they did not lose that series. They lost today, but they took the first 2 games of the series against the Athletics. Either way, they're not playing solid. I think I was on 2 nights ago talking about how they haven't been good in their last few games at home or their last few series in Fenway. They've lost some games up there. I don't fear the Red Sox. I guess Roman Anthony will get back at some point for the postseason, maybe. I guess you fear Garrett Crochet, but whatever. It's him versus Max Fried in Game 1. If that goes down, and not for nothing, when we're looking at these standings right now, again, it is not locked up that that's who we're going to see. You know, the Red Sox are behind the Mariners, right? Like, this next 2 weeks has to shake out for divisions and wild cards. And I think if the season ended today, we'd be facing the Houston Astros. That's another team that Yankee fans, younger Yankee fans, definitely are shook of because they've been the nemesis. They've been the team to put us out 2015, 17, 19, 22. But I'd like to rock with them again. And I'm not one of the type of like hosts or fans that are like are in the business of like, we got to slay all of our dragons. We've got to kill all of our demons. Like, nah, whatever. Like, last year, Royals, Guardians, World Series, good enough for me. You play who you play, but I don't fear anybody. I hate to say it. I fear the Yankees more than I fear anybody they're going to play. They should come out of the American League again, but are they going to swing for the fences and strike out a bunch of times? Are they going to pitch guys in the wrong spots? Are guys going to fold? Is Devin Williams going to hold? Luke Weaver? You know, I don't know. Is Judge going to be Judge? Is Stanton going to be Stanton? Guys like Belly and Grisham who have had amazing seasons, is that going to carry over into October? Or are guys going to freeze up and shrink? Like, I fear the Yankees more than I fear these teams. If the Yankees go out there and do what they're supposed to do, they can beat any of these teams that we're going to end up at least in the first round, right? If anything, Toronto should scare you, right? Toronto is going to get that bye. I think they're about to get Anthony Santander back.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey everyone, it's Boomer and Geo, and if you're into New York sports or you want straight talk about what's really going on in the sports world, Boomer and Geo is your show.
We're covering it all. Yankees wins, Giants drama, national headlines, and whatever chaos the day brings on the field and off.
No filler, no filters, just real conversation, and believe me, plenty of laughs every weekday morning.
We don't hold back, and we don't waste your time. We get to what actually matters.
That's Boomer and Geo, and you can listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Not sure how long it's going to take for Bo Bichette to get ready, but that bye certainly helps his case, an extra week to, you know, come back. But I would love to go through either Houston, or I really don't care for the Mariners, but hey, if it's Mariners, then it's the head-to-head with Raleigh and Judge. If we slay our dragons, kill our demons, whatever, exercise demons or whatever with the Houston Astros, Boston Red Sox in the first round, great. And then it should be the Toronto Blue Jays waiting for us in the division round. And that's what I want. That's what I want because they don't win in the postseason. The Yankees have advanced. The Yankees have more guys with experience doing it. They have guys on this team that did it last year. Judge, Stanton, Jazz. You guys know it. So I don't know. I get some people, but that's just fandom, right? I already said I love you Yankee fans that are so optimistic. You still feel like they're going to win the division. You still feel like they can win the World Series. Good, we need that too because there are a ton of negative-ass Yankee fans that, like, I almost think they hate the organization and they love to tweet all day about the team and the players and go against. Like, even Volpe, right? Like, I said Volpe's the whipping boy, but, man, show him some love. He did what he had to do tonight. It's like, well, damn, like, do you just want to be, you just want to be negative and hateful and like when he does have a good at bat and he's showing improvement, he's showing that he's better, pick him up. Like, are you rooting for the Yankees? Or are you rooting against? That's, I don't know. That's not me, but there's a lot of fans out there like they don't want to give Volpe credit for doing well. No, that's what we want, silly rabbits. We want Volpe to perform because they're going to play him anyway. We want him to hit and get to second and steal a bag and end up being, you know, driven in. That's what we want. We want him to help. 888-808-1019. We'll do the big shot of the night next. Ed, you will be my first Mets call. We'll go Mets, Yankees. Mets, Yankees, we will share. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Don't go anywhere. BRB. The big shot of the night is brought to you by WFAN and me, Keith McPherson. Bright lights, big city, a bunch of big shots. So let's pour up a double shot tonight, one for the Yankees and one for the Mets. Max Effort, land of the freed, home of the former Brave, Max Fried. Back to what we thought he was. He is what we thought he was, an ace. And you love to see it as we get closer to the postseason. Max Fried ties his career high with 13 strikeouts. He had so many shutdown innings. He had every pitch going. He was rolling. He probably could have had a complete game. I was sitting there saying, yo, bring him back out. But, hey, easy does it. 87 pitches. Paul Blackburn gets some work. And the rest of the bullpen gets the night off. After another night of not traveling and sleeping properly, Max Fried goes out and does his thing. I think he traveled ahead of the team, but Max Fried goes out and does his thing. He blanks the Orioles. And, like, don't sleep on the Orioles. The Orioles have been able to hit. The Orioles have been able to spoil, you know, some games for some teams. Like, what didn't they? They just had Yamamoto with a no-no and broke that up. And, you know, they've been able to find ways to win. The Yankees got to continue to put them down. So Max Fried is first, and then Brandon Nimmo blowing that game open with a three-run bomb so everybody could exhale, give you a nice little lead, help out your young pitcher, your young rookie in Jonah Tong. Brandon Nimmo, you know, blows that game open, and that's the deciding game of the series. 888-808-1019. I said I would go to Ed in Mohegan first. Ed, you're on the Fan.
Good evening, Keith. How are you?
Great.
You are becoming one of my favorite jocks over there at FAN, man. You're old school.
Thanks.
No, it's cool. You give the lines to the callers. That's great. You know, not a lot of people do that anymore.
I mean, I'm not. I know I could talk myself, but I'm not trying to just talk the whole time myself. The whole platform is supposed to be you call up. We go back and forth, and like I always say, I don't know any more than anybody else. I'm no greater than anybody else. Let's have the conversation for everybody to hear.
You're a dude. I dig it.
Right.
I really do. You know, I said I want to talk about the – I mean, I'm a Yankee fan, okay? But, you know, I'm a New York fan first, and I'm always going to root for the Mets. I'm not a hater. But, you know, if it comes down, if it's 2000 and the Yankees or the Mets are in the World Series, I'm going to go Yankees. But – you know, you look at this team, and you said it before. You look at, like, we lost Robert Redford this week. And a lot of younger guys don't really know who Robert Redford was. But Robert Redford starred in one of the best baseball movies, if not the best baseball movie ever, The Natural, and played Roy Hobbs. It was a fictitious story. And you look at that team and the way they rallied around that character. That's what you need to do if you're a New York team. You need to rally around your guys and play the best baseball you can, because once the playoffs start, I don't care if the Mets squeak into the playoffs. I don't care if the Yankees, you know, wind up overtaking Toronto and finishing with the best record of the American League. It doesn't matter. Once September 30th is here, it's a whole new season. It doesn't matter what your record was
right
before.
Right.
So, you know, I mean, honestly, I don't know. Have you ever seen The Natural?
No, I'm the worst guy to ask.
Oh,
I don't watch anything but live sports. I don't watch any movies.
No. Let me tell you something. Don't hang up on me.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey everyone, it's Boomer and Geo, and if you're into New York sports or you want straight talk about what's really going on in the sports world, Boomer and Geo is your show.
We're covering it all. Yankees wins, Giants drama, national headlines, and whatever chaos the day brings on the field and off.
No filler, no filters, just real conversation, and believe me, plenty of laughs every weekday morning.
We don't hold back, and we don't waste your time. We get to what actually matters.
That's Boomer and Geo, and you can listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Minute here. Do yourself a favor. If you can't, I don't know.
I just Googled it. I'm like, what streaming platform can I watch The Natural on?
No. Just go on to Prime. You could probably buy it for $10. I'm sure the fan is paying you somewhat of a pretty penny.
$10. Go. They're paying you around $10.
you might.
Thanks for the call, Ed. I'm not a movie guy. We've gone over this for years on The Fan. Whether it was, Richie and Queens telling me what movies to check out, or even when I was just on the morning show and CeeLo and C-Mac were like reciting movie lines. I'm not a movie buff. I would not make it up to you. You could ask my wife. You could ask my mom. You could ask my granny. I don't watch movies like that, bro. Since I was a wee little lad, what game is on? I am the type of person, like, I don't have the attention span for movies because I know it's fake. Like, that suspension of disbelief, like, I can't suspend. I don't have that. I could watch Thursday Night Football, though. I don't care who's on Thursday Night Football. I'll watch all of them. I could watch any baseball game, too, you know. I was watching Hunter Green throw a no-no against the Cubs. I was like, this is awesome. I'm not a movie guy. And especially now, I don't go to movie theaters since COVID. And I never have the time. I never sit down. I'm like, what am I going to watch, a movie? No. If there is a live game on, that takes precedent. In my mind, like, there is nothing better to watch on TV than live sports. It's a live movie. It's a live movie acting out, like, and you don't know what's going to, I don't know. Rest in peace to Robert Rafford. Never seen The Natural. I told you guys, I didn't make it 30 minutes into Field of Dreams. I don't know if I didn't make it 30 minutes into Bull Durham. I can't do it, bro. I'll be sleeping. Even like, my wife tried to put on the Billy Joel doc. If you guys remember the night they did the Billy Joel bobblehead at Yankee Stadium, I came here. I was like, damn, I learned a lot about Billy Joel tonight. We played a bunch of Billy Joel songs. I was like, I had no idea this was Billy Joel's song. My wife put on the Billy Joel doc on HBO. Your boy was catching Z's. Counting sheep jumping over the fence. I was sleeping. I can't do it. Now, if I could be so tired, I could be dead ass tired, and the Yankees could be on the West Coast, I'm staying up and I'm watching that till the final out. 888-808-1019. It's already 12, 1 hour down. So much more to unpack. Pete Alonso and how the Mets got to pay him whatever he wants. He's earned it already. He deserves it. How Judge is the MVP, but of course they hate the Yankees and are going to have voter fatigue like they've had in the other leagues. And I've been going on and on and on about this. And a friend texted me today to let me know, hey, they're opening up Evan and Tiki's show talking about this. And then I tuned in. Also, somebody texted me to say that there was slander on this station towards the Savannah Bananas. And I don't understand why. There's so much more to do. NFL Week 3 has begun. We're going to talk about the Jets and the Bucks. We're going to talk about the Chiefs and the Giants. All of that coming up. KM till 2 a.m. Keith McPherson on The Fan. I will be right back.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey everyone, it's Boomer and Geo, and if you're into New York sports or you want straight talk about what's really going on in the sports world, Boomer and Geo is your show.
We're covering it all, Yankees wins, Giants drama, national headlines, and whatever chaos the day brings on the field and off.
No filler, no filters, just real conversation, and believe me, plenty of laughs every weekday morning.
We don't hold back, and we don't waste your time. We get to what actually matters.
That's Boomer and Geo, and you can listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.